Welcome to the most recent edition of the Layman's Term Show. We are on week 4 of Waypoints, and we're diving into Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. We're going to uncover the powerful lesson that even the first followers of Jesus needed to help fulfill God's mission. Keith, give them the verse.
In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because the widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word."
All right, we're going to follow this scripture as we discover how to recognize our unique gifts and seek to support our community and lead through ministry and personal growth. So stick with us. Be inspired to embrace humility, courage, and strength of togetherness in our faith journey, and mash that subscribe button.
Yeah, give us a like and maybe comment.
Yeah.
Tell us how we're doing.
Tell us how we're doing, or tell us what you'd like us to talk about. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Mitch, how are you today?
I'm well.
You're not going to drop the good, huh?
No.
The improper grammar of good, you're going to drop the well?
Yeah, that's okay. How I roll, man.
I had an English teacher that did that in high school all the time, just all the time.
Said good or
how are you today? And if you said good, it's well.
It's correct.
I know, but anyway, so here we are talking about we've been talking about Waypoint, these kind of boxes of things that we like, things that we're good at, things that we don't like that we're good at, or things, you know, and whatnot. And so we're on the fourth quadrant talking about things that we don't like and things we're not good at.
But fall under our responsibilities or our purview or in that area.
Yeah, which is kind of getting into the scripture a little bit of people were coming to the 12 disciples of Christ and saying, "Hey, this big thing's going on. You know, we've got all these widows. They're literally starving to death. They're not getting any food from the daily distribution of food." And the 12 are kind of like, "This is important to us. This is part of our ministry, but we're not good at it, obviously, because it's not working well." And, you know, they have other things that they've got to accomplish.
So it's not the appropriate use of resources.
Right. So their solution is to basically delegate that to representatives of the group that they had, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, and I think kind of what we can get into is like a church family is like a family. Yeah. And like some of the most successful in appropriate functioning families is everybody kind of owns different roles or aspects or has different responsibility levels of which they can function in to keep everything running smoothly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not that the CEO waiting tables is they're not that that's beneath them.
Correct.
It's not something they're not willing to do, but if that's what they do, the mission and vision casting of the operation ceases to exist.
Yeah. The operation can't get bigger if you're I don't want to say top brass, but the people are focused on trying to do everything, then you really probably don't end up doing much good.
You stymie growth.
Right.
And if they would have, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. So now I have a question for you.
Yeah, okay. Go.
Did any of your kids have the "I can do it myself" mentality?
Well,
when they were little, did any of them? Because I can tell you with mine, but did any of yours?
So I'm super independent. I have kids that are independent. I think sometimes with the do it yourself mentality on here though. Sometimes it's like, that's a little different than what we're talking about. I think so. I think also because it's almost like they want to know how to do it, to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. They want that independence of doing it. the 12 didn't want to do it. They weren't like, oh, we're going to do it all ourselves.
Sure. No. I see that. But I think sometimes as humans, we have the, and I know this about you in a way, and you know this about me in a way, where you see something that's not being done right, and you're just like, I'm just going to do it myself. Right? Like, instead of delegating it or being like, hey, you know, and I really look at that a lot with my kids.
So it's not I can do it myself. I want to know how to do it myself. It's, you know what? It's going to be less trouble for me all around to just do it myself, as opposed to teach you how to do it.
Yeah. And I look at that with my, so one of my goals is, and cooking in my family has always been a big thing with the kids, trying to get the kids involved. But I've always tried to get them involved in doing the small things that then didn't really make or break the meal.
Yeah.
Right. You know, cut the tomatoes, cut this, cut that. Right. And so actually one of the things that I'm trying to do, is, my middle child has expressed an interest in, baking a lot more, you know, so she always wants to do like a portion of the meal, whether it's doing the biscuits or doing the tater tots or, you know, whatever. So I think I'm going to try to get her to bake a little bit more, do some fresh made cookies, do some bread, do this, do that. But instead of helping her, let her do it.
Yeah.
You know, let her, even though I know that I can do it better, or that really in reality, Shama can bake way better than I can. But just let them do it. Even though it's easier, quicker, and faster for me.
Yeah, I think quicker is the key on that. Where I struggle is I don't have enough margin baked into the design of daily life to create those opportunities to allow for them experimentation with the kids, like try something out in the cooking and then, oh, that didn't work and you got to start over, or this is taking longer than you thought. I just don't have enough margin baked into my schedule to be like, I can't wait 3 minutes to get the onions cut. I need onion cut now so I can throw it in the skillet now.
Yeah.
Not 5 minutes from now.
Yeah, it's hard.
Now.
It's hard.
So that's, I think that would be my goal, is to be bake in more. What was that? Anyway, drop something. Bake in some more time so that I can have more, allow more responsibility on that. And I think that extends through to all sorts of the rest of what we're talking about.
And let's be fair to the scripture for a minute. We're not saying that the 12 couldn't have done it, and we're not saying that they couldn't have found the solution really quick. Like, hey, knock it off. We're gonna divide the two. You know, we're gonna divide the rations, and you give this one to these widows, and you give this one to these widows. Go, right? But instead, that would be a quick solution that they probably could have done or come up with, but instead they're looking for a solution that's more long-term approach to the solution, right? And I think that's kind of what we're talking about in this benign example of our kids and doing stuff with cooking, is that it's quicker for us to do it, right? But the long term is you're giving them the opportunity to teach them a skill, to have them help out in a way that they can help out in, and giving them the ability to use their God-given gifts potentially if it turns out to be. And I think in the example of the scripture, that's what the disciples are really doing, is saying, let's find some people that are good at this, that have maybe a God-given gift, because we all see it in them, and let's give them this task so that they can fulfill their calling, right? So what's funny is with this, like, I can do it myself. Parker, my youngest, when he was younger, didn't want to do it himself. You know, it was the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. He would just, oh, I'm a small boy. I can't do it. I'm a small boy, right? And he's starting to flip that. He's starting to flip that into, now he's a big boy. He can do it. And so it's little funny things, like he can pack his own lunch now. No, I'm a big boy, I can do it. And then you look and it's a bunch of goldfish and mm-hmm. you know, like an applesauce or something, right? So he's starting to flip into that, like, he doesn't say I can do it myself, but his phraseology is I'm a big boy, right? So I kind of find that funny. But I mean, my argument, I think you would agree with me, is some of that attitude persists throughout your life into adulthood. I can see, again, we kind of touched on it a little bit. I think about like yard work and weeding the yard, right? Well, my oldest is old enough. She's 13. She's grabbed a weed eater a couple times. She doesn't know what she's doing. That's fine. At 13, I could weed eat a yard, but I also started younger, right? Doing it. I'm sure the first few times I did it was terrible, right? But allowing the kids that opportunity to do it. My thing is I have to allow them to do it, because I can sit there and go, I can do it faster, better.
Exactly.
You know, and so let me just get it done. It'll take me 20 minutes to weed eat and we're done, versus an hour walking around with my oldest saying, you know, you got to lower it, don't hit the fence, you know, like. So I think some of this is as an adult, we prevent other people, not just our kids, but other people around us from experiencing the ability to find out what their God-given talents are, because it maybe is something that we can do better than they can do. And that's kind of.
But yeah, you want to learn. We all learn through failure, right? Like,
yeah,
trying and doing and either succeeding or failing. That's how we're learning, is by doing.
Yeah.
And to your point, sometimes we rob people the opportunity of doing because we don't want the obligation of supervising.
Right. So tell me what is something in your life, not work related, but just in your personal life, that you have to do. You don't like doing it and you are really bad at it, but you have to do it.
Well, you're going to find this is kind of a cop out, but my personality of like, I don't end up with things that I just hate to do, because either they need to be done and then it's just like, I'm not going to resent a necessity. But you know, there's probably stuff like budgeting and bill pay and kind of home financial management stuff,
mm-hmm.
That I am so very, very, very bad at it, and my wife is so very, very, very thorough and good at it that those are such extremely far, like, if it ever fell under my responsibility and purview,
yeah,
it would be disastrous. And I would despise and loathe it.
Yeah.
Probably to the point of, like, having to, you know, hire a tax attorney to help me figure out.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To just because I can't, I couldn't, I, yeah. Not only would I be so bad at it, I would get so frustrated that, so anyway, that's down there in my help box.
Yeah.
Not good at it.
And you have somebody that can do it currently for you.
Yeah.
Right. Or you'd have to find somebody, that was good at it. I had a buddy that, made really good money, like really good money. And he was so terrible at the finance portion of it, like saving for retirement and all this kind of stuff. And he actually had to go and get an accountant that he was friends with, right? So they knew him on a personal level, and they were like, "Let me help you out," you know. And what the accountant did would take so all of his money coming in, pay everything, and then give him a separate account.
Give him a stipend.
Yeah, of his own money. And they were like, this is your card for this money. This is what you can spend every week or month or whatever. And once it's gone, it's gone, right? But, and they paid everything else, right? And they were that bad at it, you know, and they hated it. I mean, they loathed it so much that they were like, here, take all my accounts, take access to everything. You figure it out and just like leave me a little bit of, tell me how much money every month I can spend on eating out or frivolous things or whatever. And that's what I think he still does it today. Like, I haven't talked to him about it, but for 20 years, that's what he, and this accountant's done great for him. Right. And I think some of that is putting some trust into some people that you know are really good at it.
You know, and I think answering your question, it comes back to what are things that, luckily for me in my life, like things Laura's great at, I don't have to be good at. And then I'm realizing how bad I am at some of those things. Well, some of those things are like future planning. You mentioned I have a very hard time like focusing my mind on something that is way into the future.
Mm.
I just, because the immediate always trumps it. Yeah. Always.
Mm.
It's like, nope. Can't write that. Can't finish this email about next week because, you know, the timer just went off on whatever I'm doing, right?
Like, yeah.
Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
I've got to move on to the next immediate thing.
Did you find you do that at work too? It's hard to like think about the next event that you have to plan or whatever when you're currently in the current one.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't personally have that problem, but I could see that in some other people that I know, like the immediate. And I think that's a very common, I don't want to say issue, but I think that's a very common mindset, right? Too, is
nearsightedness.
Nearsightedness. People just always kind of in the current, you know, and they don't think about, they have no interest in thinking about the future. It's not that they can't, it's just they have no interest because what's happening now is more important to them than what's happening further down the line. And that's not just from a financial perspective, it's from like an everything perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that I know that I'm friends with who, you know, is you'll ask him about something and you know, in the, hey, your birthday's coming up in a month. Like, what do you want to do something or whatever? I can't think about that right now. It's a month away.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, well, yeah, you need to, he'll go on vacation. He'll just like, oh, I'm on vacation. I'll pick a spot. Just go there. And then like nothing planned. Just kind of live in the moment or whatever with it. I could not handle that. I have to plan. I have to think like,
well, like some vacation
on, like,
stuff.
On the weekend, I'm like on Friday, I'm like looking at Shauna saying, "What are we doing this weekend?" I need to know. And her kind of thing is, I don't know, whatever pops up. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that.
I'm
like,
that's
no,
how
I know.
I am.
I need to know.
That's how
I
am. Yeah, Laura's the same. Like Laura likes to, but she also enjoys a planning process.
Right.
I don't like a planning process. You know, probably anything that has a process in it, I don't like it. Unless like processed meats. Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
But other than that, really processes meats. I'm not.
So in related to this, what I find, and I'm sure you find the same thing, is in these boxes where we're not good
at something,
our deficiencies, when we ask God for help, it's consistent in the Bible. When somebody is needing to do the work that God puts in front of them, God will frequently send them another person that fills that deficiency for them, like Moses, for example, going to talk to Pharaoh, right?
Gets Aaron.
Hey, here comes your bro to handle this, right? And what we're talking about is that, right? Laura is that person for you. Your wife is that person for you. That,
or maybe she's Moses and I'm Aaron with a few other things.
That's probably accurate. But she's that person for you that fills your deficiency, right? So would you agree with me that
it is kind of like that? Like sometimes if she's got it all squared away,
yeah,
except something just has to be done with you know, like an interpersonal relationship. Like we got to call the person to validate something.
Yeah.
Well, she's done 99.9% of all the work. She goes, could you call them? Sure, man. Yeah. That's what, yeah, of course I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she doesn't want to, the interpersonal stuff is maybe not her forte.
Yeah.
Right. As probably a more introverted person.
Doesn't want to deal with the niceties of, you know, the lovely person on the other end of the Southwest Airlines phone call, right? Which I love those folks.
What happens in our family is like when we have to order food.
Yeah.
Like order Chinese or something like that.
Is that always you?
Is it Shauna? It ends up being me, but neither one of us want to do it.
Oh.
Like both of us hate talking on the phone. But it's something that to strangers, right? Like I can call and talk to you or talk to my mom or whatever. Who cares? But like calling a business and like, you know, or like.
Is there something wrong with it? I enjoy it.
I don't like it at
all. I just
all.
Like when I like role play it. I'll just ring, right? And then you pick up and you're like, this is Keith. And I'm like, hey, Keith, my name's Mitch. I was wondering if you could help me out with something.
Oh, gosh, no.
And then you say, yeah, I'd like, would you like to place an order today? Yes, I'd like to place an order.
So the other day.
Can I substitute the refried beans for the black beans, please?
So the other day, the kids were sick, took them to the doctor's office. They got antibiotics, okay? Ear infection. So they got antibiotics. And Piper's at the age now where you can't do liquid anymore. Like it's so much liquid that she would have to consume that would cause other issues. And so they're like, hey, we're going to give you pills, you know? And she's never had to deal with a pill before. Neither has, Penny, the oldest. And so we got these pills or whatever, and gave the pills to Penny, gave the pills to Piper. Penny got him down fine. Piper is like one of those that like her throat, it's all mental. Her throat will just not let it go down, right? No matter what, you know, you give her a little bit of water, no go. You give her a little piece of cheese, say, hey, you can, and the doctor said you can bite it. You can open it up and swallow it if you want. Like it's not a big deal. But, you know, like wouldn't do it. Got a little pudding out, you know, put the pill in the pudding. Wouldn't go down. So I just opened up all the capsules in the pudding, stirred it up and was like, eat it, right?
It's the worst.
Okay. And she's
crunching
like,
those little pellets.
Well, no, so you can gross. You can open up the thing.
I know.
Oh, okay.
The anyway, little pellets inside
are
the
they
thing.
I don't know. I didn't taste it. I can swallow a pill. So
that's
have
when I learned when I crunched a little pellet.
Well, anyway, so I'm dealing with this and then I forget where I had to go and what I had to do. I think I had to come here to work or something. We had a meeting or something, and I'm like, I gotta go, right?
Yeah.
So I get in the car, and I text Shauna, and I'm like, can you call the pediatrician's office and just get the liquid already? You know, like just get the liquid. And you know, she texts me back or whatever, and then oh, I remember we were doing
we were going to a luncheon.
We were going to luncheon. And so then she calls me, and she's like, and then she. Something happened with the phone call, didn't answer. She texts me and she's like, can you call me? I need to talk to you about this. I'm like, okay. So I call her and she's like so frustrated because she didn't want to have to call the pediatrician. And I don't want to have to call the pediatrician's office either. Neither one of us wanted to do it so bad that we just kept the original medication and just forced it down Piper.
It's a growth opportunity.
It's a growth opportunity. But like, that's how much both of us hate talking on the phone.
So I think in this point, God's provision typically comes in the form of another person. You just need to be like an apostle and you need to ask for some help. I will call your pediatrician anytime you need me to.
Thanks, buddy.
Right? Like I can do that for you.
Yeah, I know. And I think that's what you have to.
We could do it on the show.
Oh my gosh, that would be great.
Well, actually,
no,
I think
that's against HIPAA. Although I can waive HIPAA rights for my daughter, right?
I would think so. I just don't know if we can broadcast. I probably so. Hmm. Anyway.
We'll talk to our various lawyers we have on retainer.
That's right.
So the idea, though, is if there is something in your life, right, that you aren't good at, you don't like doing, try to find that help in the form of another person to help you with it, right, if you can. We're all going to face stuff that we don't like doing, we don't we don't want to do, that we have to do, we have to get done. I mean, there's stuff in our jobs that I think, you know, hopefully there's a minute amount that you don't like and you're not good at, right? But there's stuff in everybody's orbit, whether it's work, whether it's outside of work, whether it's interpersonal relationships. But you gotta do it and lean on the people that are good at that.
All right. Well, let's talk about you, me, and give some questions to the audience about kind of introspective. We're going to think about how God has gifted us. What do we need to do? What is it we need the courage to ask for help on? So one of the things we're not gifted in, and then who can we rely on for that help? And then which one of those questions is the most daunting to you? You know, kind of recognizing your strengths, your gifts, or recognizing your deficiencies, being honest with yourself,
yeah,
or the actual asking for help in that one.
I find asking for help is pretty easy. I would honestly say I would lean towards the hardest part is how has God gifted me. And I don't mean that from I don't mean this from a humble statement of like, oh, I'm not very gifted, you know, or whatever. For me, I have a hard time figuring out what I'm good at and what has God gifted me to be good at.
Mm, yeah.
Right. Because I feel like you can have both in life. You can have some things that you're good at. But what is it really about me that God has made me unique and gifted me this gift? Right. And some might argue that everything that you're good at, God has gifted to you, but I personally don't ascribe to that. So like I can type pretty well, pretty fast, pretty accurate. Right. Is that a gift from God, or is that just something that I'm good at because
a developed skill?
I think that's probably for me the hardest thing for me to figure out is, okay, what is the gift that God's given me? And then once I can figure that out, I could then probably figure the rest of it out, of how to utilize it and what I'm not good at, and asking for help to do that.
Well, to dial that back, to help you along that path, I think some of that technically minded stuff, like you're the technical mind behind anything we do here on the show, on the podcast, on the channel. If you're watching this live, if you're listening to it, not live, but if you're listening to it on a podcast platform, you got all of that there. You got the audio, the video. Like, I would have nowhere... If there's not an app for it to like did it, like if I couldn't like zip tie my phone to a stick and like hit a red button to make it all go on as a show, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So to your typing point, that's the thing behind the thing, is you have a technical minded ability and desire to learn and figure out the technical stuff. And I'm a manual person. If I can't manipulate it like with my hands and see the change that's being created, I become frustrated by it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And sometimes we're like the opposite, right? In terms of like, I've come to you before and been like, Mitch, I need this to attach to this, and I need you to figure that out.
Yeah.
Right. Because
can you pick up the couch and drag it over here? Like, that's like, what, honestly, it seems really silly, but like, we're talking about strengths.
Mm.
One of my strengths is just physical strength. I can be just put to work picking up something and dragging it.
Yeah. You don't have a problem doing it. Do you like doing it? Would you say that you like doing it?
If it's being helpful, if it's useful.
Yeah. So I don't like lifting heavy things ever.
It's not like,
even if it's useful.
I don't just do it for funsies. Well, I kind of do, but you know, like that's, whereas maybe even like, I get less bogged down by like a physical weight than like an emotional weight. I can probably handle more physical burden and baggage than emotional.
Hmm. So how about you? What do you think of the three questions? Like, how has God gifted you? What do you need the courage to ask for help on? And then who can you humbly ask to help? Which one's the hardest one for you?
I think it's not the, and what do you need the courage to ask for? I think more for me, it's what do I need to recognize that needs to happen and I should ask for some help on? Because I all too often, if I can't do it myself, I just will avoid it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
that's your personality type.
Yeah. So it's like, well, don't need to do that. Well, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's the recognizing, identifying the things that I'm not, that I need help with that I don't already have the help lined up in. And then, because then I can usually, I believe fully that, you know, God's provision shows up in the form of another person. So
yeah.
God provides people to help you with what you need help with. Your job is to be paying attention.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm not looking. I'm not listening. I'm not availing myself to the opportunity of empowering someone else to help in that way.
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think that's hard for a lot of people because it's
but you don't know you're missing it.
You don't know you're missing it, or maybe you're so consumed also by the deficiency that your eyes aren't open to receiving the help from someone else or recognizing that someone else is there that can help you.
Or pride's in the way of recognizing that you are deficient in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, pride gets in the way of a lot of things. I could see that. I think all three questions are pretty difficult in general. You know, this idea of God's gift for you, I think a lot of people struggle with figuring out what their God-given gift is. We live in such a world and a society where asking for help is very difficult. Sometimes you get mocked or ridiculed for even asking for help, right? In both your work life and your personal life as well. And then finding the person that can help you, is difficult too. You know, there's definitely been times in my life where maybe not spiritually or emotionally or whatever, but I've needed help trying to figure something out. And in this world of digital, help, just think about, how do I replace this part in my car, right? And the 600 YouTube videos and 599 of them don't tell you how to do it. And then you just finding that one video that then helps you to do it, right? And I think life is like that too with trying to find people that can help you. You may recognize somebody and, oh, maybe I'm not good at finances and this person seems to have their act together. Let me go talk to them, only to find out they don't have their act together, right? So just trying to find the right person that fits as well, I think can be difficult for a lot of people. So we are out of time for the day. Just want you guys to think about our conversation and think about those three questions.
And here's some takeaways for you.
Yeah.
That God has gifted you uniquely, but not completely. Yeah. Uniquely, but not completely. So you can't do it all.
Yeah.
Fact number one. And even the apostles, even the people Jesus appointed to carry on the ministry, couldn't do it all themselves. They needed to bring in others alongside them. And admitting we need help, what we're talking about here, getting around our pride, can lead us to be more effective, not just in ministry, but also in our personal lives.
Yeah, that was great.
This was a great show.
I enjoy
having conversation with my guy Keith and all you fun folks out there participating, listening along, mash that subscribe button and take part with comments in our discussions, and look forward to next time.
Yep. See you guys later.